Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents, recorded live in Chicagoland, USA, a new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, with your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dolby.
Everything's a song, everything's a song.
Hi, this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm not.
Neither am I.
Neither am I.
With me...
We sort of are.
Well, I'm Mr. Carrie.
Yes.
So yeah, now that we've worked all the kinks out of the system of doing really awesome shows live from my apartment, we're doing it at Matt's place. Why? Because
Carrie wanted to.
Yes.
Oh, that's why we're here? Okay.
Carrie wanted to be surrounded by her loving friends and having a big love fest. She is in preparations to go to Vienna and wants to rest her voice. So having other voices to make comments will keep her from having to speak as much.
Yes.
So can we all sing Kumbaya?
Yes.
Kumbaya, my Lord. No, nobody wants it.
Kumbaya.
Nobody wants to hear us singing
Kumbaya.
Anymore.
Kumbaya.
Seriously.
It's too late. I'm already singing Kumbaya.
Ah, what?
I've already stated the only person in this room that I'm unwilling to hit is Ken's daughter, Erin. Hi, Erin.
Hey. Is that the first time you
say hi really loud?
Hello.
Yay. All right. Well, let's start the show as we always do with comments. So, by the way, has everyone here actually listened to the show at some point?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm still recovering. I'm still recovering.
Actually, Matt, you were telling me that you were telling us that you listened to it on the way to work.
Yeah, I have a comment. I guess I'll kick off the comments. I listen to the show on the way to work, and I enjoy it. But since my commute is about 8 minutes, given the length of your guys' podcast, if it gets much longer, it's going to take me the full 2 weeks between episodes to get through an episode. Right now, it takes me about a week because it's 90 minutes long.
Well, I have a really strong feeling that this might be the shortest episode yet. That's my guess.
Ooh.
I'm not making any promises, but...
Okay. Hey, before we read comments, I don't think we introduced everybody.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Well, once again, I'm falling under that mental state of me assuming that everybody knows who everybody is because we're doing a podcast essentially for everyone at this table plus like two other people.
State your name and your purpose in life.
My name is Matt, and my purpose is to be silly.
State your name and your purpose in life.
My name is Josh, and my purpose is to eat chicken wings.
State your name and your purpose in life.
My name is Ken. Do I have a purpose in... My purpose in life is to make sure this fourth person here doesn't get in any trouble.
The sixth person, not
the sixth,
fourth person.
The sixth person.
You're supposed to be the one good at math.
I am. I'm tired.
So are we still going to have the Let's Call Ken segment on this show?
Yes, we are.
No, maybe. We've got to leave some suspense here. By the way, we will admit to, you know, ripping off Bill and Moonbeam's Pot of Destiny, like, even more so than ever before.
We'll get to that. That's in my notes here.
Okay.
Read these comments.
Okay.
All
right.
I just like to note that several of us at the table are drinking something pink in honor of Carrie.
I'm not. I'm drinking water, as always.
And I'm drinking nothing.
She's in a delicate condition. That condition, of course, being Carrie.
Just read the comments.
Smack me. Okay. There we go. Up by the mic so you can hear it well.
Yeah.
All right, DJ Particle says, Medemia is pronounced with the loud accents on the me and the mi. Medemia. Think of the cadence of the brand name Metamucil as a mnemonic. So the handle of the person who made the comment the previous week, let's see, Metamucil. Metamia. So Metamia is the person who is making comments and hanging out in the Dementia Radio chat room. So peace out to Metamia. And DJ Particle also says, love this podcast, smiley face.
Yay!
Well, oh, that's actually that person's name? Okay.
All right. Metamia.
Metamia.
All right. Metamia, do 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 do.
Metamia, do do do. Metamia, do 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 do
first song out of the way. All right. All right, no Scott problem. Says, wasn't it Twist and Shout that the Fat Boys did with Chubby Checker? And then later he posted, no, that was supposed to be the Twist, not Twist and Shout, of course. And then I posted links to the music videos for Fat Boys, the Twist with Chubby Checker, and the Fat Boys, Louie Louie music videos. But then in his first, going on with his first comment, he said, I hope you don't just use funk songs every episode. That's a problem I had with Manic Mondays. I assume 97%, just an estimate, of the listeners are already funk subscribers, so we don't really need to hear the songs that we just had delivered to us a day or two before. I think that's a very valid point. I was kind of trying to intentionally think of more obscure things to play for the songs for this episode. Carrie thought of a suggestion too that fits right in. So this song.
Some of them might be by funk artists though aren't necessarily songs that appeared on the
That's okay though. The point is, I mean, we could have a song by a funk artist, but if it's not a song from the funk, there's a good chance it might be something they haven't heard yet.
We're never gonna completely stop promoting the funk or playing new things from the funk.
Yeah. What's that address again?
It's thatfump.com. In fact, I may even make a produced thing that we can have like a musical sting with it saying, hey, be sure to go to thefump.com and hear music by, and then just list off all the artists that have posted songs since the last time we did an episode, just to remind people.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that Gospels had a song last Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it got pulled, and then it's up again, I think.
Yeah, it's just something.
In the interest of keeping this episode short, I won't explain exactly what happened there, but Brian is silly in space.
It's Brian. It involves Brian. Okay.
So, but
it probably involves Brian. And
another comment from Scott said, it's nice to hear News of the Stupid again, but I hope you guys get the hang of it. It's not nearly as smooth as Devo's delivery.
Well, we're doing it live.
No, it's going to get a lot worse tonight.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sure it took him a while to get it, too, so I'm hopeful you will. I don't know. I thought last week's News of the Stupid was pretty awesome with all the sound bites and stuff.
Devo didn't do that many live shows, but on the ones he did do, it wasn't as smooth as the pre-recorded ones. Period.
Yeah, the thing. He wasn't doing the talk show thing until the very end, so if he screwed something up, he could just delete it and you would never hear it ever.
That's not how we do things here. We do rehearse ahead of time, and we will continue to do so and hope that the best comes out of our mouths when the time comes.
Going back to last week with the Luke ranty rant things about things, and we said that I'll never talk about them again, we have to do an addendum. I'll never talk about them again, with the exception of responding to people's comments in the following episode. I mean, it's only fair.
Hold out your hand.
Okay.
But you're not supposed to talk about it ever again. Ever. It's dead.
Well, yeah, but as a courtesy to our listeners, you know.
Uh-huh. I just needed an excuse to hit people.
All right.
Since when have you ever needed an excuse to hit people?
Yeah, I know.
Matt wants to get hit.
Then she said, an excuse to hit people.
Like those people on Saturday.
All right. Doug Hanna says, brilliant, your best show yet. I cannot wait for my next dose of bad rapport-y goodness. As an animation enthusiast and filmmaker, I was laughing my butt off at Luke's animation rant. Misconceptions about film and animation are so many and so irritating. If you want to be an animation geek anymore, you'll have at least my ear. If you want to be an animation geek anymore, you'll have at least my ear. Keep the tolerable work, guys. Keep up the tolerable work, guys. I can't wait until the show is big, and I can honestly say that I've been listening since the start.
We're tolerable again.
Yay!
Thomas E. Reed says, Luke, your talk about cartoon voices done to previously animated cartoons is correct, of course. The incident in Mrs. Doubtfire was ignorant on many levels. It would make more sense if Robin Williams' character was a stage actor who got fired for screwing up, but that would entail spending more money paying for more actors running a theater. As for Dave Coulier providing the voice of Robin Williams in the Mork and Mindy cartoon, I can do you one better. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon called Will the Real Jerry Lewis Please Sit Down. It was on ABC, animated cheaply by Filmation, and had just about every awful Lewis character ever made. Ralph Rotten, Hong Kong Lewis, Professor Kemp from The Nutty Professor, and every mental fart Lewis ever had. But it didn't have Lewis. He too was too big a star to provide a voice for his cartoon. The voice was done by David L. Lander, aka Squiggy, on Laverne and Shirley. In his own comedy, Lander was about five times funnier than Lewis ever was. It was a crime that he had to do this terrible gig. Please don't look for the cartoon on the gray market video tables at conventions. You don't deserve to suffer the pain.
By the way, I just wanted to do a correction to the last episode. I did watch the Mork and Mindy live action show. I'm not cool enough to have watched the Mork and Mindy cartoon. Just want to make sure that's clear.
When I was in, oddly enough, it was when I was in London on a high school trip. I saw Hanna-Barbera put a book out. This was back in like 91. That listed like every Hanna-Barbera cartoon that they had ever made up to that point. Yeah. And I wish I would have bought that freaking book because it had all those weird obscure shows in it.
Yeah. By the way, are you sure this recording is going to be quality enough to listen to?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We tested it. You didn't know this, but you went to Ed DeBevick's and recorded a thing with Bill for their thing. The very late Saturday night, a bunch of us went out to Denny's, and I got out this Zen player to test it out.
Okay.
So we recorded about 10 minutes of us talking there so that we can glue it onto the end of that episode so that you and I both appear in that episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's a Pot of Destiny addendum or something.
Yeah.
That's why they recorded in the Dementia Party room.
We were
too busy.
That was very articulate of me to say.
Mm-hmm. It was too...
We're too busy listening to a big fat guy saying, I'm just a girl.
Okay, so crazy STL fangirl has invented a bad rapport drinking game. Number one, take a drink every time Luke burps. Number two, take two drinks every time Carrie scolds him for rude behavior. Three, take three drinks every time we don't hear Carrie scold Luke after a burp. Slightly tipsy and very crazy. Love the costume pick. And I want you to check the Gmail for badrapport.com. Nothing.
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 Absolutely nothing. Awesome.
But it partially could be my fault because I forgot to add a email link to the website itself.
Oh,
you know,
that explains it.
So I had Sarah add that today. So thank you, Sarah. And
didn't get our Twitter started yet, but I thought about doing it. Does that count?
Maybe your audience members will be kind enough to add you to some embarrassing mailing list.
But I did get an email.
There's a shiny on the table.
This is
we'll talk about it later.
I'm trying to be quiet about it and not distract.
We'll bring it up when we're done with comments.
Yeah, we'll explain the doorbell sound you heard about 3 minutes ago.
And then I got an email sent directly to me from TV's Kyle.
Okay.
Who said, "Hi Luke, I'm listening to Bad Rapport while working on a future frog raccoon strawberry strip." That's his webcomic. That always bothered me about the opening of Mrs. Doubtfire 2, even as a teen or preteen or whatever I was. Watching that in the theater, I was perplexed as to why they'd have that obvious error. I mean, they had Chuck Jones working for them, and by then Robin Williams had done the voices of both Batty Coda from Ferngully and the genie in Aladdin, so he knew how it worked. To confirm your suspicion, that was Chuck Jones's work. The short made for the movie was called Pudgy the Parakeet. It was a full-length short and is apparently available as a DVD extra. You can see an awful lot of sync copy of it at some other web address that he gives. Rock, Kyle. So thank you, TV's Kyle. And with that, I will never talk about it again.
Ever.
Ever.
So don't keep commenting
about it. Unless I write a
stand-up
comedy piece about it. And
no.
Well, that's different.
No, there is no unless.
Oh, yeah. When's he in town?
All right.
The 26th of December, so I can't buy a ticket because I don't know if I'll be in town or not.
Just heard about that.
So,
everything going okay?
Just checking. The 10-minute mark was 3 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yeah, I know. We got
through comments.
Right when the doorbell
Of course, it's...
All right, Pot of Destiny. That's what I wanted to mention. As I already said, Carrie and I are appearing on a forthcoming episode of Pot of Destiny where the majority of it is Carrie with Bill and friends at Ed DeBevick's during WindyCon weekend. And 10 minutes at the end of it will be me and Bill and friends at a Denny's in like the middle of the night, Saturday night.
Yeah, both Luke and I made appearances at WindyCon, but we never saw each other.
Yes, I had to.
Well, he made an actual appearance, as in a concert.
Yes,
and we
do that this year.
And we have to bring up them because it kind of ties into the comments thing because they had been commenting about our show on their show, and they said that now we have to comment about them commenting on us, you know. Commenting on our previous show.
Yes.
So now we have to comment on them so they can comment on us, commenting on them, commenting on us, commenting on them.
You know, I hadn't thought about that because I was actually listening to both Bill and Moonbeam's Pot of Destiny podcast and then your guys' podcast when I finished their recent episode. You know how, like, webcomics do a thing where they'll do a crossover where, you know, you'll have to read, you know, comic A first day and then comic B and then comic A again, comic B, alternate.
Yeah.
You guys should do stuff like that where you'll set up where, you know, you'll mention something
and then they'll get a chance to respond to it. You can do like a point counterpoint over the course of like 5 or 6 episodes.
That would be neat to try.
I didn't follow what was just said, but
this is going to be part of the drinking
game. Yeah,
but I like Jell-O.
Well, there's Jell-O shots in the fridge.
This won't count because I'm talking about something that happened a few days ago. I was talking on the phone with Carrie and explaining something that was going on in my life, and after about 30 to 45 seconds, she just said, "I'm sorry, I haven't been listening to you at all."
Hey, you know, at least I'm honest.
Yeah.
Everybody does it, but most people just don't admit it. I try to be a good listener, and when I fail, I'm like, "Hey, I was failing just there. Can you catch me up?"
So, going back to Pot of Destiny, because they were talking about in a recent episode, Rocky Horror Picture Show, because they went to see it, and they were talking about stealing from another Rocky cast, that whole notion of coming up with a fantasy cast for Rocky Horror Picture Show, like, hey, what if it was The Simpsons that were playing Rocky Horror? Who would play who? Or what if it was the cast of How I Met Your Mother? Or what if it was blah, 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 whatever? So I'm going to steal that from them, because they stole it from somebody else, and I put it to you, the round table here at the table, The Fump as the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
So here's what I came up with. I'll just read you my brainstorming here, and you can react and let me know what you think of these picks. Criminologist, Chris Mazzalesta.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with that. Yeah, he has a voice to it. Okay.
All right. Brad, Steve Goody. Or if Steve Goody isn't available, Rob Balder. Okay.
I don't know about that.
Well, let me go on. Janet, of course, Carrie Dalby. Yeah. Because who else would?
Yeah, I mean, she's played...
I mean, you are the Janet.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Hush.
Dr. Frank N. Furter, Sea Monkey. But if Sea Monkey isn't available, Party Rob Balder. with the ears and all.
Yes.
Riff Raff, I put myself, because I've always wanted to play Riff Raff. Yes. But if I was unavailable, Dark NES from the Gothicals.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Because I'm a big believer in having, or at least for my little version of this, I like to cast, you know, women as women parts and men as men parts. So I have Carla Ulbricht as Magenta and DJ EYG as Columbia.
It's Rocky. You don't have to cast men and men.
Yeah, I know.
Proper gender roles. Well,
I'm talking to someone who's played Brad.
I've played Dr. Scott.
I know. I'm just saying. I decided for my version, I would go that route. You all don't have to.
It's Rocky.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Let me continue. Rocky himself, the monster. Just for the lulls, I'm saying MC Lars.
No, I got Tom Smith for something else.
Or Devo Spice.
Well, I was going to say if MC Lars wasn't available, either Jared Ringgold or John Mapes, or perhaps both of them together.
Tom Smith.
Actually, Tom
used to be in Rocky. What did he, he was either Rocky or Frank.
He said he was Frank.
Yes.
Yeah, and like he was all like extra buff and stuff.
I would like to see that too.
The gender roles, I would say Devo Spice for Columbia because the redhead thing.
That's a very good point. Point for Matt. Eddie?
Shoebox,
yes. And if Shoebox wasn't available, Chris Waffle. Dr. Scott, I said Tom Smith.
Right.
I just figured he could do the accent well, and I could just see him with the bear, you know.
Yeah.
You know, his whatever that... What is the name of the bear? Mr. What's Tom Smith's teddy bear?
Oh.
Mr. Wumpus, is that it?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, then as you get old, you know, sometimes the parts you change.
The Transylvanians would be played by the Consortium of Genius.
What? Oh, the Transylvanians?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
I had Ralph Hapshatt, Devo Spice, Betty Hapshatt, Wingard.
What? apparently the gender...
And then the audience...
This is the point at which Luke's brain said, I'm going to stop making sense now.
Yeah.
Okay. The audience would be played by everybody else except for Jeff Smith, who's going to be filming a documentary about the entire thing. So, so there
Let
we go.
Let me see this. That way I can be reminded of what people were trying to include.
Okay. This doorbell break is brought to you by Mike's Hard Pink Lemonade. Yes, if you want to think about boobs while drinking a little bit of alcohol, get Mike's Hard Pink Lemonade. And now, here's Ken with the thought of the day.
Huh?
Thank you, Ken. That was the thought of the day with Ken Sherlock. And now here's Josh with the counterpoint.
I would have
to... Huh? What?
What?
Anyways, so I would say Frank would probably be Luke because he's the biggest showboat. And,
okay.
I'll give you that.
Bonnie looks a bit different.
No, it's not. Okay.
I would
lost.
Let's see. I would have to put Tom Smith as Rocky, and that would make things a little weird between Tom and Luke. So we'll just put Party Rob as Frank because things are already a little weird between Rob and Tom.
Yeah, yeah, that would work. Yeah.
Devo Spice, Columbia, or Magenta. Let's see. Who else could be Magenta here now that we're doing gender crossing? Shoebox could be Magenta if Chris Waffle was Eddie.
I can see that.
Yeah, actually, that would actually be the best part for Shoebox now that I think of it. Would be
pasta! Dinner is prepared!
Papaya? What's papaya?
And then he does a mullet solo. Okay. Yeah. I'm tired of this game. Does anyone else want to take a crack?
No.
No.
All right.
No, I'm still mad.
So this is the part where we're gonna have a song break, but we don't know what song is gonna go here yet.
I know what song should probably go here. Huh. How about a song that's a parody of a song by the Rocky Horror Picture Show, done by Mr. Tom Smith, that has to do with time travel? Because we're at Matt's house to watch a time travel movie.
Yay!
That'll work.
So here is Time Plot by Tom Smith.
It's astounding that Starfleet has no working time machine. So listen closely, Deep Space Next Gen and Voyager. I've got to keep this clean. I remember Edge of Forever. Look at what's happened to Trek since then. What was done uniquely now is practically weekly. Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again. It's just a temporal shift.
The cosmic entity just can't get it right.
Put your hands on your phasers.
Misunderstand and fight. Apologize and trust. This stuff will drive you insane.
Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again.
I feel disgusted. Reality's busted. The timeline we trusted ain't there at all. Change something teeny. My mom's Mussolini. I break wind. Galactic empires fall.
We can make up new Babel
with a tile set from Scrabble.
Dropped into a word processor on Blend.
Give us visual whiz tricks.
But ignore math and physics. Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again.
Navy got me safe offshore, then sold me into slavery behind the green door. I signed up for an interstellar trek. Now I'm gonna take a hatchet to the holodeck.
Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again. Eight, six, four, two. We can blame it on Q.
Eat your heart out.
Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again. It's just a temporal shift.
We try explaining it, but just can't get it right.
Break out the techno babble.
It's science fiction light.
Ignore the stuff you know. The stuff will rot your brain. Yeah, 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 game. Let's do the time plot again. Let's do the time plot again.
Yay, that was time slot. That was that, time.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Time just flew. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was
I feel
amazing.
Like we didn't even stop or listen
yeah,
to music.
Like, wow.
Just like we jumped ahead in time.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
We'll have amazing. To go back in time and listen to it again.
So since
I lost those 5 minutes. Was I sleeping? Or was it
so,
three? I don't remember.
The next on my topic list here is
if your guests would like to sit and interject, that's fine with me.
I offered. I suggested.
Okay, it's going to be the quiet party.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to take a drink.
Okay.
And you have to scold
And
him.
Now we have to take 3 drinks because I didn't scold him.
I'm definitely glad I don't have alcohol.
And you have to take 4 drinks because you didn't take any.
It's not fair, you're drinking water.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I ever drink during these things. I don't drink.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the Lupski Top 50.
Oh, sure. I missed most of it.
Because basically...
I missed it entirely.
All right. Well, I have the printed up thing here, and so I can pass it around the table and show it to you. I won't read through the whole list. I'll read the top 10. Number one for the, I believe, second year in a row, Stealing Like a Hobbit.
Really?
Number two is Grease Wars, featuring Carrie Doughty. Number three, You Don't Know Jack. Number four, Fanboy. Number five, House Party at Arkham Asylum.
Really?
Number six, A Man Named Jane. Number seven, It's a Fanboy Christmas. Odd to see that one drop down that far.
It dropped?
And on the same note, to see one shoot up a pretty significant amount, Insane in the Brain came in at number eight.
Wow.
And early in the poll, it was number one. I don't know what the deal is with that. Number nine, the highest ranking, not only the highest ranking song for my newest album, but also the highest ranking Fump song, Spock Star. And number
a good song.
Number 10, Vader Boy featuring Carrie Dalby and the Nick Adams.
Yes.
So,
Well, after seeing Star Trek, I can appreciate the song more.
Yeah.
So, the main reason I do it every year is to include the songs from my most recent CD after it's been out for a month or two. So the newest tracks on there from Too Much Stuff were, like I said, number 9 is Spock Star. Too Much Stuff came in at number 16. The Dada Slide came in at number 24.
Yay.
My Parents Bought Me in Television featuring Insane Ian came in at number 31.
Nice.
Towards the bottom of the list, Gory Gory Hallelujah was 45. My Favorite Part was 47. And We're Going to the Dells, the Wisconsin Dells, was number 49. So, And I was trying to kind of, I got like all super crazy analytical. Hmm?
What was number 51?
I don't remember.
You're such a devil's advocate.
Actually, wait.
He's got it.
51 would have been somewhere in the vicinity of Keanu Brada Nikto or I Love You Tebow.
Okay,
one of those
cool.
two. So, so I've kind of determined through a bunch of analytical stuff that my most popular albums seem to be Worst Album Ever and Bay Conspiracy. And here's just a few thoughts I typed up on it. Why the hell did Star Wars prequel Homesick Blues rank at number 14 and Star Wars trilogy Homesick Blues rank at number 20? That should
be our audience.
Yeah.
I don't think my wife voted 20 times.
That should totally be switched, in my opinion, at the very least. Trilogy Blues should have been much higher. And speaking of things that should have been much higher.
Agreed.
In my opinion, the reason why Holding Out for Hero is ranked so low is because it's about the TV show Heroes, which most fan persons think isn't very good anymore. So despite the fact that the song is about season one, the good season that everyone loved, and the song kicks major ass, it's still only coming in at number 21 when it should be within the top 10. For shame! Shame! Stop judging songs based on the current states of shows.
21's not that bad.
You know, Dollhouse was
You've got a lot of songs
but it,
there.
I personally think that song holds up like really super well. When I listen to that song now, when I think about all the work you and Jared and Shoebox put into that and how it all came together so well, I'm like, that should be in the top 10.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's just a pity the guys who write Heroes didn't put that much work in
it.
Oh! Sing!
Yeah, just saying.
All right. Murder Was the Play is the only song from Psycho Potpourri that made the list.
Well, it is the best song from Psycho
Potpourri.
And you know what? I forgot to write down the number. Where is it? It is... number 44. Will the re-release of that material help those songs gain popularity in the future, or should I remake it and put it on a future CD and leave the rest in the past? I don't know. as I said before, I'm very happy to see Spock Star break the top 10. I noticed, because I didn't want to get too into it and not, you know, be like, and you know, anal retentively checking it, you know, twice a day. So I checked it the first couple of days and then left it alone. The first couple of days, I noticed that, like, none of my Fump songs, you know, basically everything I've created since January of 07 were really ranking high at all, and it was kind of concerning me. And then I realized, well, I haven't really been directly plugging this to the Fump fan base. So I went and made a news item on the Fump's news thing on the main page saying, hey, go and vote on my thing. And then after that, the Fump song started getting more votes. So,
I wasn't listening.
Everyone take a drink.
I had to.
You have to take two.
I'll say something that'll make Carrie pay attention. Mishki said on his show, like, he was talking recently to musicians saying how, you know, certain musicians have like this arc of like 7 years or so where they're creating like their best work ever, and you know, when they get known later on in life, they can never quite make work that was that good again. You know, they're mainly talking about big important people like, you know, Bob Dylan and stuff.
Right.
But after hearing him say that, I just kind of thought, you know, thought to myself and thought about the top 50, like 1999 to 2006. Like, you know, maybe that was my period of time, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to create anything as good as Grease Wars or Stealing Like a Hobbit.
Trying.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but, so yeah, that was just thoughts on that. And the other thing that to try to wrap this up is I'm trying to figure out what to do about my earlier albums that the Psycho Potpourri stuff, which is basically, you know, the stuff from Fanboys in the Hood and Shadows of the Bunghole that didn't get remade, you know, cutting out all the inside jokey stuff. I've released it as a homemade CD, but I've never released it as a full-fledged CD through like CDR Guy or whatever. So I've been wanting to do that and re-release Carpe Dementia, Uber Geek, and Worst Album Ever through CDR Guy. Basically the thought that crosses my mind is, should I do that, or should I put out, you know, a one CD Luke Ski's Greatest Hits Volume 1 covering the most popular tracks from those albums, or should I put out two CDs where they're both Luke Ski's Greatest Hits, except one is all hip-hop stuff and the other is all not hip-hop stuff.
No, don't do that.
No.
Because then you'll, you know, less of the hip-hop stuff will get sold because of the way people at conventions are, but a lot of the hip-hop stuff is the best stuff and should be heard.
They have preconceived notions.
Yeah,
So if we're breaking this down between, should I put out Luke Ski's Greatest Hit Volume 1, one CD set, or should I just re-release the first four albums?
I think your better potential for profit is to do a one CD.
Yeah.
That's what
especially
I think
nowadays.
Because I'm still going to have the CD, the earlier albums available if they wanted to download it in MP3 format for my website.
Compilation thing.
Yeah,
compilation might be best because you're selling to people.
And it's K-Tales.
And you're not spending as much money to get it made.
People would be a lot more interested in buying one CD to catch up on the stuff the early stuff, as opposed to trying to buy four.
Especially in this economy.
Yeah, you can justify one purchase, justifying four, three, or two.
Difficult.
Okay, well, I honestly really appreciate your guys' feedback on that. What I'm going to do is, the night I did all this detail-y stuff, I stayed up till 4 in the morning being a, you know, head up my own butt, you know, freakwad like I always am. But I did figure out, like, for an 80-minute CD, what that would be, that one disc, like, what would be on it. So the potential track listing of that, I'll post that along with the notes to this episode.
Right.
So you fans listening, I want your opinions too. Go look at that list, and I'm not that I'm expecting you who already own all those CDs to buy that disc. I'm wanting your opinion as my fans to think, oh, if I'm trying to appeal to new fans down the road, what you think of the songs that were picked, which it's basically based on the top 50, so everyone should probably agree with it, but
from before.
Is there any more on that topic?
No, but it does segue nicely into what's Luke plugging now?
Who's Luke plugging now?
That doesn't sound that's not right.
Oh. Well, actually, plugging is a term that's
multiple
ways.
See how you can dig up, Carrie.
Well,
yes.
If anyone listens to Dan Savage plugging, anyway.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Anyway, so of course, as I've been talking about the top 50, you can actually see the full ranked list at Lukeski.com or thegreatlukeski.com. They both go to the same place. Also, thegreatlukeski.com posted the same day as the top 50. I had some major help from Jared Perez, a.k.a. Mr. Tuesday, my friend Tony Troxel, and of course Sarah, who helped me with the website. I actually managed to get all of the songs that weren't on my lyric archive typed up and posted. So now all of the Lukeski lyrics, all of the early embarrassing, cringeworthy...
So no longer the old days of lyrics. Now from the guy who doesn't post lyrics, here's some lyrics.
Yeah. And the majority of stuff, I mean, now that the Fumping has existed, I've been putting up the lyrics as each song comes out. So now it was a much easier job to be like, oh, here's the script from Transformers, Revenge of the Filmin, and, you know, vacuum cleaner hoses, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's that. I believe the free MP3 of the week at my website is either You Don't Know Jack or Nothing, depending on whether or not Sarah got around to doing that.
I don't remember track Nothing.
That'd be a pretty good track.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then, my song Too Much Stuff is currently tied for first place for the most requested song of the year on the Dr. Demento show. So please go to the Dr. Demento website and request. It's drdemento.com/request and request Too Much Stuff by the Great Lukeski. I'll be your best friend.
And he still won't tell me what he's tied with.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you. Just not
Oh,
now.
I'll tell you.
And speaking of countdowns, there's the Man Music Dementia Top 20 Countdown. So you can go vote for all your favorite funny music tunes there as well at themanmusicarchive.com. And there's also details at djparticle.com. I am an artist who does art, and nobody's hiring me. It's your fault, and I'll be all bitter and yell at you, the listener. It's your fault. Why aren't you hiring me for your holiday parties to draw caricatures? If you would like to, go to artbylukeski.com. That's artbylukeski.com. And you can, as well as hire me for parties, you can order individual pieces of caricature or cartooning or anime chibi artwork through me, through there. I'll be performing at VisionCon 2010, which is at visioncon.net. It's in Springfield, Missouri, Clarion Hotel, January 22nd through 24th. I'll be performing there as well as Willie's Wenches, who is a hilarious Shakespearean troupe.
They were awesome.
They were quite awesome. And then we have, of course, MarsCon 2010 Dementia Track. Who's performing there? Well, we have the music guests of honor, the Nick Adams. We have new coming acts, Throwing Toasters, Schaefer the Dark Lord, Steve Goody, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Insane Ian, Dino Mike, Odd Austin, and returning favorites, Rob Balder, Worm Quartet, The Gossicles, Power Salad, Hot Waffles, Depot Spice, The Great Lukeski, and this just in, just added to the list, Raymond and Scum, and Carrie Daldy! Yay! Yay! So... That was the best reaction ever, Ken.
What's that about Gabbo?
Gabbo.
Pre-reg is, for a three-day badge to MarsCon is $45 through January 31st. Out of that, it'll be $60 at the door. You can purchase registrations and learn about the rest of the convention at MarsCon.com. For Dementia Track schedule and other detailed info and updates to come, visit MarsConDementia.com. MarsCon, Twin Cities, March 5th through 7th, 2010. It's the place to be. You're going to be there. And now let's find out what Carrie is plugging.
I'm plugging Matt's new game, Zombie Ninja Pirates. And Matt is going to talk about it.
Yes, the first doorbell that rang was me receiving the prototype decks from Taiwan.
Wow. And they are shiny.
They are shiny. It is a new 20-30-minute card game for 2 to 6 players that is going to be coming out in January, if everything goes well. So you can pre-order it now off the website. If you go to ZNPGAME.com.
ZNP
for Zombie Ninja Pirates.
Yes.
Or you can go to GozerGames.com, GozerGames.com. Either place, you can pre-order it. And if you pre-order it, and when you go to checkout, you use the code PREZNP, pre-ZNP, you will get a discount on the pre-order. So go check it out.
And I am appearing... with the Park Ridge Community Church Chancel Choir at noon this Sunday at the Park Ridge Community Church in, fittingly enough, Park Ridge. And following the Chancel Choir performance, there will be another performance of the Nothing But Trouble Octet, again with only seven of us, but it'll be a different seven. And we won't have the sexy red dresses as we had last time, but it'll be pretty much the same music. And that's free. It doesn't cost anything, so be there. And what are you plugging, Josh?
If anybody needs any computers worked on, fixed, anything like now, please, for the love of God, contact me. I need money. And you can contact me at, I don't have a website, sorry.
And what are you plugging?
You can contact him at badreport@gmail.com.
There we go.
Okay. Well, am I plugging? I'm not doing anything, or am I?
It's a joke.
Oh.
Ken is playing his segment on this podcast.
Oh, no.
If only he had a streaming comedy music show that he could plug.
Yes. Thank you, Luke. I'm tired. DementiaRadio.org. Yes, I appear on there 7 p.m. Central Thursday nights, playing an hour's worth of music, at least for 1 week.
And I'll actually be able to listen this Thursday.
Yes, of course. The following week will be Thanksgiving, and but then I'll be playing all of December and all that type of stuff, including, of course, holiday music on full show on December 23rd, but that's still long. That's still way too long away.
Yes, his holiday shows are very, very good. His best shows are his profane shows.
Of course.
But I think we haven't heard enough Christmas music.
No. Well, it's okay. I was screaming in the parking lot at someone ringing the bell last Friday.
After Ken's show on Thursday nights is my show, Dementia Revolution.
Of course.
On Dementia Radio. Dementia Radio. Ha ha hee hee ho ho. Funny music and stand up. I'm laughing and I can't get up. Dementia Radio. Ridiculous. And now here's the next song.
Chasing to superstition, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that down's gonna make me fall. Chasing to new sensations, new kicks in candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night.
She makes you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She makes you live a crazy life. She'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Upside inside out, living a million longer. She'll push and pull you down, living a million longer. Her lips
next song. Wow, what a great song.
It was the previous song.
And that was a
previous song.
That was a nice, that was a nice choice.
We've been listening to that song now for 2 to 8 minutes.
All five of us highly enjoyed that song that we just listened to together.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
It touched me.
Boy.
Yeah,
that joke is really old.
I see, that was a pretty
artist could play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I sit next to the previous. That was a pretty stupid mistake. And now it's time for
news of the stupid.
Created by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent.
I hope to God he's going to play the actual song.
Fix it in post.
All right.
Yeah, I hope so.
When you're planning your drive-by shooting, there's certain things you don't want to forget. Got a gun? Check. Got a car? Check. Got a target? Check. Ammunition? Check. Gas? Check. Route to and from the shooting mapped out? Check and check. Well, in Appleton, Wisconsin, there's one more important thing that Andrew J. Berwitz, age 20, forgot to do. Roll down the window. Andrew allegedly tried to do a drive-by shooting at the home of his ex-girlfriend's family, where he failed to roll down his car window and shattered it when he made the first shot. According to court documents, the occupants of the house were awakened at about 2 a.m. to the sound of breaking glass. They saw a car driving off and found two bullets had struck the exterior of the house, and three entered the living room. None of the four people in the house were injured. The ex-girlfriend was attending school out of state. Apparently, the notion of a road trip by shooting hadn't occurred to Andrew. Sheriff's deputies examining the area found broken auto glass in the street, and later that day contacted area auto glass repair shops and found Berwitz had his car window replaced after filing an insurance claim.
Wah,
wah, wah, wah. Apparently he must be a customer of Easy E Insurance. Berwitz had been drinking heavily that night, which means he remembered to open the bottle of beer, but not the window of his car. He was charged Wednesday with 4 counts of first-degree reckless endangerment, 4 counts of endangering safety by reckless use of a firearm, disorderly conduct, and criminal damage of property. Josh.
Luke, thank you. During the lead-up to a 40-cent wing special in Brooklyn, Buffalo Wild Wings ran an advertisement that included this cheeky tagline. Don't be alarmed if the tightwad of the bunch picks up the tab. As it turned out, it should have gone on to read, and proceeds to stab you in the face. On the eve of a... Not the eve of a... verbal car wreck. All right.
Yeah, no, we actually we won't.
No, we won't. We won't. Okay, we'll pretend that there's a lot of really cool editing that went on here, and this is fixed, okay. But it's not. All right.
Going on.
On the eve of a no schools Veterans Day, thousands of high schoolers descended in the Atlantic Center Mall in Brooklyn to take advantage of the deal. By night's end, 2 shootings and a stabbing had occurred. It started sometime after 7 p.m. with a series of confrontations inside the restaurant. After the quarreling teens made their way outside, 2 separate, unrelated instances of gunfire ensued in the streets. Meanwhile, a confrontation on the shopping center's perimeter led to arguably the weirdest factual sentence to ever appear in the New York Times. A stabbing just outside the mall has also been linked to the chicken wing special. 4 teens were injured. No one was killed, but as many as 7 dozen bottles of BW3 spicy garlic sauce gave their lives in battle. Military specialist Colonel Sanders was unavailable for comment. Matt.
Josh. In Bellingham, Washington, police have arrested a man after he allegedly stole a pencil from a Bellingham store, even though he was carrying $600 in cash. The man, 44, was booked into the Whatcom County Jail after police learned he had an outstanding warrant from Everett. Officers questioned the man about why he stole the mechanical pencil, worth $5.99, when he had enough money to pay for it, and probably about 99 others. Police said the suspect just responded, quote, "I don't know, being stupid, I guess," unquote. Well, being able to admit it is the second step to recovery. The first step is, if you have an outstanding warrant and $600, just go ahead and splurge and drop the $6 for the mechanical pencil. He is now public enemy number 2 for threatening to pump people full of lead. Ken?
Matt?
Okay, pop quiz. You're horny. You want to call someone so you can have sex. Sounds like a Saturday night. But your cell phone is out of minutes. What do you do? Well, you call the one number you can call when your cell phone is out of minutes. 911. Police in Tampa, Florida say 29-year-old Joshua Basso made sexual comments to a female 911 dispatcher and asked if he could come to her house. Investigators said she'd hung up, but he called back four more times. He was arrested about 15 minutes later at his home late Wednesday and charged with making a false 911 call. Basso reportedly told officers he didn't think he would get in trouble for calling 911. He is listed as unemployed with arrests for theft and other crimes dating back to 2001. Tampa jail records show Basso being held without bond, but doesn't indicate whether he has an attorney. Whenever he decides to use his one phone call to find an attorney, here's hoping he learned enough to know not to call 911 looking for one. Carrie?
Okay, another pop quiz. Multiple choice question. You want to buy a knife. Where do you go to buy it from? A, a hunting store. B, a cutlery store. Or C, a traveling knife salesman selling knives out of a suitcase on a moving city bus on the northwest side of Chicago.
Oh, C.
If you chose C, you are stupid. And so is the man who accidentally stabbed himself in the leg with one of his own knives when he tripped and fell on a CTA bus near Belmont and Milwaukee Avenues at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Ah, Sunday morning, the weekly knife-selling rush. Everybody's heading for church and wanting to shiv someone in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Police News Affairs Officer Laura Kubiak said the man told police it was an accident and that he was a quote-unquote knife salesman. Fire Media Affairs Director Larry Langford said the man, who was selling knives out of a suitcase, lost a lot of blood, but his injuries were not believed to be life-threatening. The man's next plan is to sell machetes to people on roller coasters. People are stupid, and they're selling knives out of suitcases on moving Chicago City buses. This has been News of the Stupid.
Hey! That went pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, except for me completely screwing up my part. Yeah, but other than that,
we'll fix it in post.
It's good radio.
We'll not fix it in post.
Okay.
We don't fix anything in post on this show.
Yes.
Except for adding the songs.
Yes.
Just play along.
No, we were listening to the
song. Yeah, we were listening to the song the whole time.
Fourth
I'm
wall.
Sorry.
So it's time. We're in the home stretch here. It's time for what shade of kink?
What shade of kink?
I think that should definitely be a new segment.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but
that's why we asked Josh to be here today.
Ken's daughter Erin is still on the premises.
We don't have the flag over that.
Erin, go upstairs for
no, 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 no. That's okay.
And she was getting cop.
He's kidding. No, we're not going to discuss Carrie's shade of kink today. Carrie Shade of Pink is a perfect Carrie Pink. It is cotton candy pink.
I'm thinking of Aerosmith.
And it says on it, I want sprinkles because it's for the blog that I promoted on Bill and Moonbeam's podcast, Cake Rex, CakeWrecks.com.
At blogspot.com.
CakeRex.com goes there. So, wow. You should definitely, if you weren't already checking out Cake Rex, check out Cake Rex. And there just might be a song about Cake Rex sometime this year coming out. Who knows?
That would be nifty. All right, next segment is going back to... I didn't type it out.
Oh, boy.
The really long title that Shoebox came up with, which I believe was something about called, like, Luke rants incessantly about stupid... shit that his brain won't shut up about. It was something along those lines.
We're having another one?
Actually, it's a two for one. They're both very short.
Ah.
Okay.
That's not really ranting incessantly.
They're never short, Luke. They're never short.
Well, while I was having dinner the other night with Matt and them, not when we were recording, but a couple things came up casually in conversation, and Sarah was next to me, and she's like, add that to your list.
Yes.
Actually, she did that for the first one. The second one, I started talking it, and I go, Sarah, I just leaned over and said, Sarah, if this is another one to add to the list, let me know. And then I kept going on. She's like, yes, add that one too.
Okay, well, if the first one's too long, then you'll have to say the second
one. No, they're both pretty short.
We'll see.
And this can maybe slightly turn into a topic that you could all touch upon before I go on to the second one.
We're not going to be touching anything here.
The overall...
Can we touch your kink?
No.
Okay. Things that your parents wouldn't let you watch because they felt that they were too adult or, you know, they wanted to, keep your eyes from them. And, you know, it's not like, oh, you can't watch Andrew Dice Clan, HBO. Things that you just kind of felt like, really? you know, just like, you know, like, you know,
example.
When I was a kid, my mom came, because we had HBO, my mom came to me and JT and Amy, and Michael was probably too young. It's like, there's a movie on HBO right now called Blue Velvet. And if you see that movie is on, I don't want you to watch it. And I was like, okay. And I never watched it because I had zero interest in that movie. I still haven't seen it to this day. I have a vague idea what it's about.
Yeah, I still need to see it.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's
about a fabric store.
guests are arriving for the movie night.
All right. I better get a move on in. And there's things like, you know, Married with Children. You know, that's kind of an obvious one. But this is where it goes a little strange. My mom, there was a cartoon on afternoons in the 80s called Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats, featuring Heathcliff, the cartoon cat from comic strip fame,
right,
and a bunch of other cats that hung out in a junkyard that had a cool Cadillac car. I think the main cat of that group was called Riff Raff, and then his cohorts were Hector, Wordsworth, and Mongo. Now, Riff Raff had a girlfriend cat whose name I can't remember. Actually, I think it was Cleo, come to think of it. And she kind of looked like...
Bye.
Now, can we start talking about Carrie Skink? Okay, maybe not.
Okay, anyway.
On that note.
Heathcliff cartoon, Riff Raff has a girlfriend named Cleo who's a girl cat who basically kind of looks like an 80s girl with, like, sort of leg warmers on. And she was kind of, you know...
I remember her.
For afternoon cartoons, she was a sexy cat.
Yeah, I remember her.
My mom forbade me from watching Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats because she felt that that particular female cartoon cat character was a bad representation for women.
WTF.
Yes. Huh?
Okay.
And I really like that show, especially the show's theme song, which I want to get TV's Kyle to do a cover version of. I got to pay him to do that. Because I paid him to do the ALF cover. Now I want him to do this one if he has the time.
Huh.
So that was that. So off the top of your guys' heads, did your parents make you not watch something that you thought, really? Why don't, you know...
My mom wasn't all, like, extra overprotective like that.
Yeah.
She would cover my eyes during dirty scenes of, you know, R-rated movies, and I'd look at the movie through the cracks between her fingers anyway, so it really was ineffective.
Yeah, my parents were about the same as far as whenever we'd go to movies. I'd have to cover my eyes during the naughty bits, which, of course, told me that this has got to be the interesting part of the movie.
Yeah.
So the rest of the movie might be crap, but it's like, okay, cover your eyes. I'm like, oh, awesome. I gotta pay attention.
And you'd look through the cracks in the fingers?
Well, yeah, because they wouldn't use their hands. I would use mine. So basically, I just have to basically cover just enough so my parents didn't see that I was paying full attention.
My mom pretty much never got the cracks in her fingers covered all the way. But maybe once or twice she did. Ken, any examples?
Well, the problem is, see, when I was a kid, I didn't care. Most of the things I watched cared about was sports. My parents couldn't care less about that.
Yeah. And
but as far as shows, the only show they really didn't care for was Monty Python. But
so it could have had a good influence on your life if you'd been allowed to watch Monty Python.
Well, I'd watch it anyways. They just didn't want me to watch it. They would always find an excuse to keep. They would do everything they could to keep me from watching the show. Of course, it came on right at 10 o'clock, which was when the news came on, so I'd have to... So the only time I would be able to watch a show was when both of them were sleeping or something, not paying attention.
Any examples?
No, not really. My parents were pretty open about that sort of thing.
So mostly it's just you.
All right.
You're alone.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I had a very, you know, or at least a fairly sheltered, you know, you're being raised a Roman Catholic and, you know, you're going to burn in hell if you, you know... masturbated.
Yeah, well, like I said, so was I, but
How many minutes have we been recording?
52.
Okay.
So, all right, the second thing was the time at which I discovered that the Dr. Demento show was on the air in Kansas City when I was living out there was mid to late 90s, like spring of 95 through 2000. And I had been dating women by answering personal ads in the Pitch Weekly, which is, you know, kind of like the Red Eye here in Chicago or City Pages up in the Twin Cities. Actually, it's the same company that City Pages, Village Voice Media. Anyway, and there was this one woman who, you know, I could tell basically was just, you know, looking to, you know, get laid. She was, you know, kind of, anyway, she was nice. She was certainly like, you know, yeah, I'll get right in there. So, but here's the problem. Dr. Demento's show was on Sunday nights from midnight to 2 a.m.
Uh-oh.
And it's like I would buy 120-minute cassette tapes, and I would, you know, religiously every Sunday night, midnight, hit record, You know, get to 1 a.m., flip the tape over, record it. And it just started to seem like clockwork. Every Sunday night she would call me, hey, you want to come over and wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more? And I'd be like, I'll be there at about 1:30. Because that would allow me to record, you know, midnight to 1 a.m., turn the tape over, hit record, and then leave and get out to her house by 1:30. So the overall point of this story is, given the choice between listening to the Dr. Demento show on the radio and recording it and getting laid, the Dr. Demento show was more important, and it won.
Even when you were in your 20s.
Yes, even when I was in the 20s at the peak of my, I need to get laid as much as possible because I'm a guy in my 20s, it still won. So I guess for you listeners, the topic is, you know, given that choice, would you have done what I did, or would you have said, the hell with this?
Is it admirable, or is it sad? You decide.
Exactly. Admirable or sad, you decide. That's the name of this episode.
High five. Ooh, awesome.
Of course, with me, I would have loved to have had that choice.
Need to get a poll up on the website about this.
Yeah, I got a poll in my pants. Ew. Ah!
I'm particular.
Are we talking about Luke's kink now?
I'm particularly starving, so can we wrap up this pretty soon?
I'm feeling
a little weak.
All right,
we only had blood sugar.
I don't know.
Did you want to talk about Weight Watch?
No, I guess I don't have anything to say about
that. Okay,
be a great segue.
Well, that leads to the last topic of the episode was ignorance stories. So I'll let you guys go first. Anyone have any true tales of ignorance from your lives or workplaces or places that you're allowed to talk about on the podcast?
That's the catch, isn't it?
Yeah, technically, this podcast could go another hour if I started.
For some reason, this always jumps to my mind first. It's not work-related. It's not technically CTA-related, although I was getting off the bus. But maybe if I tell the story on the podcast, I can stop telling this story over and over again, and it'll be like, you know, like Luke's thing, only I probably will tell it again if I feel like it. Anyways.
Because she's Carrie.
So
edit the list for the drinking game.
So I was getting off the bus on my 3-block walk home, and I was wearing all pink. It was cold out, so I was wearing a fuzzy pink coat, and it was just another day in the life of Carrie wearing pink. Like, you know, this is just what my life is. So I'm walking down the street, and I see some woman approach me, and she says, you know, and I've never seen this woman before in my life, but she says, well, why do you wear pink all the time? Which I get that question all the time. So I just went to some of my generic answers. Oh, I like pink. it's glamorous. I, you know, enjoy wearing it. It's my favorite color, you know. So, but before I could really get any of my generic, you know, standard answers out, she stopped me and she said, are you a performance artist or something? And I,
wow.
I was speechless. I didn't know what to say to that. That was
would be one of those.
Yes.
I think I eventually eked out a no, and that was how that encounter went. And I never
said
forgot that.
Yes, done an interpretive dance, and then demanded $5 from her.
Or yes, my fist in your face is part of my art.
Yeah.
Or you should have just said to her, aren't we all? Mysteriously walked away.
All the I should have said, you know,
Matt
come
is
back
doing
to
a stunning visual performance in an audio medium.
Yeah, I know. I've done a couple of them today.
Awesome. We need more stunning visual performances in an audio medium. Okay, anybody else tell your story?
When I find a better job, I'll have a whole ton of stories to share.
Yes.
Because we already agreed it's not a good idea to tell stories for our current
workplace. Well, I always talk about something called black hole theory. Whenever you make space for something, next thing you know, someone always fills it up.
Yeah.
You spend an hour clearing an area ready for something that's coming there. Next thing you know, you turn around, you come back, and there's a bunch of other people dumb stuff there on you.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens everywhere, or something I call the K rule, where you go out your way to help someone, you waste your time and theirs.
Yeah.
But see, those aren't your name. I can't be specific because I don't. Yeah. I was told I shouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't think.
And
we
spent
should
14
be.
Years.
You never know.
And it's been 14 years since I've been to my previous job, so it's like
true.
My memory's not that great.
So Matt's not even at the table anymore. Yeah, Luke, what story are you leading up to?
He said he really couldn't come up with any because, you know, Anyway, all right, so these are from this past weekend at the place where I regularly draw caricatures. Some woman came by and she wants to know how much it would cost to draw her three kids, and I pull out my little handy-dandy guide that breaks it down, and she's like, well, how much for three kids with the, you know, heads in black and white? It's like $15. How much would it be for me in color? $45. Because it's, you know, $5 for one person for the head, you know. Yeah. So she's like, $45? That's a huge jump in price. Do you know that? And I said to her, if this was Six Flags, it would cost $60. Yeah. She's like, well, still, that's a huge jump in price. And it's like, I don't know.
It's a huge jump in effort.
Actually, what the reality is, it's not a huge jump in price, more in the fact that I'm giving you an incredible discount on the black and white drawings.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the real point is that if it was with black and white in the bodies, it would have been 20. So the price range is 15, 20, 45, 60. So, you know, the point is, I'm giving you a deal on black and white drawings, not look at the huge price jump up to color. So I don't know. Anyway, that takes
a lot.
Next, all right. I'm drawing this different woman. Three kids. Once again, all girls. First girl is named Deja, D-E-J-A, which is fine. I've seen that a lot. Deja. Yeah. It's
interesting. Interesting.
Second kid, also a girl, named Jada, J-A-D-A. And now I'm like, wait a minute. You named one kid Deja and the other one Jada.
Wow.
You just switched the two consonant sounds on them? You know, it's you know, consonant schwa, consonant A. Jada, Deja. It's like,
that's really confusing.
It's like name your kids Timmy and Mitty or something. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know. And then the third kid, the youngest one, like a toddler, two-year-old, was... was named Jakayla, and before I start drawing, I always write down the names. So Jakayla, like, how do you spell Jakayla? She goes J-A-K-Y. Deja, how do you spell Jakayla? Jay, do you know how to spell? Let me get your uncle on the phone. And I found out as I'm listening to her talk, this woman who appeared to be in her early 40s is the grandmother of the three kids.
Ooh,
sitting there,
oh,
calling the uncle, getting him on the phone. Hey. How do you spell Jakayla? And basically, throughout that conversation, I don't think the uncle knew either. And she had said that she had taken them there, you know, as like, oh, it was Jakayla's birthday, so she was taking the three kids to Key Lime Cove for the weekend.
Whose name is unspellable.
Yeah, so she's the legal guardian of these people at this place for the weekend.
Wow.
She doesn't know how to spell the granddaughter's name.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Early 40s.
We came to the conclusion that it was J-A-K-Y-L-A-H, and we ran with that.
Wow.
So, all right. There's a person who has a high school named after them. Let's say it's let's say it's Pierce Norbert. I don't know what it actually is.
Okay.
But it's Pierce Norbert High School, and they had a homecoming, and they had a T-shirt made. So I'm drawing a kid with a body, and his T-shirt, which is not like a Blaze Hunter orange, but a slightly brighter orange than normal orange, like brighter than eyewear. Just something that stands out just a little bit, like a T-shirt you'd buy at the Dells. And it says PNHS Homecoming 2009. PNHS Homecoming 2009.
Oh,
I'm drawing this whole time, like, all I can think is
penis
Homecoming 2009. You went to the penis homecoming of 2009.
That's got to be the school's nickname.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, so I drew okay, last one. Another grandmother, this one actually looks old enough to be a grandmother,
okay.
Sits down with a grandchild, girl, her name was Sarah, I don't know how old she was, not a toddler, like, you know, probably somebody who is in kindergarten or older, you know, and, you know, I'm she's getting the simple $5 head drawing, and I start drawing, and the woman, the grandmother says, I'm going to go get change. You know, like, she's going to go get the money to pay for it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll get started. And she, like, woo, wanders off. Now, the arcade is behind me, and I, you know, there's families, people running out all over the place there. You know, so I draw the girl. You know, within, you know, 3 minutes, I'm done. I say, all right, there you go. And then I you know, I hand her the drawing, I give her a bag, and she just kind of, you know, smiles, and she likes it, and she takes it, and then she kind of walks off behind me, and I really don't give it too much thought, because I figure, well, that's where Grandma is. She went over to the arcade booth to get the change or whatever. So, you know, I'm doing my thing. I went to the bathroom, I came back, like 10 minutes later, Grandma comes by, and I'm like, oh, good, she's here to pay me. And she's like, you know, this is my granddaughter, Sarah. And I'm like, yeah, it's $5 for the drawing. Well, where is she?
Oh.
And I'm like, I thought she was with you. And then she proceeds to start freaking out. Like, not like, ah!
Like,
but
you
just,
were supposed to babysit her.
Yes, exactly. I was supposed to babysit her her granddaughter while she disappeared for 15 minutes, you know, in the arcade. So she's like, oh, I'm like, you know, hand motions and, oh, my God. And then she, like, walks away. And then, like, I stand up. I start kind of pacing my way. Because the arcade's not super huge. Within 2 minutes, you can case the whole place and see, all right, oh, there's the person. So I start going to case and, like, look around. And then I stop and I look back. I see her a ways down the walkway over by Leapin' Lizards in the restaurant place talking to two other employees. And then I seen her. She's, like, explaining. And then she turns and points at me with, like, major accusatory finger. You know, I could tell she's, like, trying to convey
so
to them.
So she was paying
her
for 15 minutes of babysitting,
yeah,
not for a drawing.
Or kind of more like just accusatory, like, you know, he's part of a scheme to kidnap babies. You know, I don't know. Just like, it really had this bad thing. So then they walk back over to me, and they're asked, like, what's going on? It's like, oh, she was here. I drew her, and, you know, I thought she went to be with her grandma. I didn't know. And you know, well, what did she look like? And I go to start describing her, and I get, like, you know, like two words into the description, and then I look back down the way where they had just been standing, and there she was, the girl standing there with the thing. So I like, look, I just, like, stop and, like, is that her? And they turned around, and Grandma, oh, my, and then she, like, went off, mm-hmm. And, like, I could tell that the two other employees were, like, kind of on my side, and
good.
I'm like, hey,
did you get
sorry.
Your $5?
Well, let me continue.
Oh.
So the woman, and then, like, they're like, hey, what's the deal? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, sorry I had to deal with that. And I said to them, would now be a good time to point out the fact that she didn't pay me for the caricature? And they're like, really? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's only $5. I don't want to make this any worse than it already is.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, they left. And, you know, I went back to doing my thing. And then, like, 5 minutes later, some other guy who apparently must have been a son, whatever, you know, the parent of the actual girl or something, comes by. He's holding another baby. And he's like, oh, here, you know, for the drawing of Sarah. So it's like, apparently Grandma was so pissed off at me for not having babysitted that she wasn't even willing to come back and pay me herself for the drawing. You know, like, probably like, screw him, who cares, he's a bastard, you know. And, you know, and then, like, the father having, like, some common sense is like, no, you need to pay him for the work he did.
You're nice.
So,
all right.
All right.
Well, I don't know when we'll be recording the next one, because the time when we're supposed to record it is the day after I get back from Vienna, and
yeah,
I'm not so sure that's going to work out, but we'll get something out, you know, in 2 weeks ish.
Yeah, well, we're at 1 minute and six, we're 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 43 seconds, so.
Yeah, it looks like Matt will be listening to this
so,
all 2 weeks.
So it's
because we still have to.
You got fire pull of music.
We gotta. I gotta
we
add
still
the songs.
Have to re-enjoy
in.
The songs that we already enjoyed.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They were awesome.
Plus, we'll be hearing one more after the outro. So.
Oh yeah, can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah.
So
well,
so for Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm not.
I'm not either.
And I'm Matt Doohan. Go to gozergames.com and get collateral damage. Okay, and we are out. Talk to you all later. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
In the Bahamas,
this is a happening.
I love you, Zelda Dinkleberry.
I love you so madly.
Oh, I've been asked to get married lots of times.
Oh, yeah? Who'd have asked you?
My mother, my father, my brother, my Uncle Charlie.
Hi, dear friends. This is Moise Godava, your friendly commentator, and welcome to Queep on the Street. And here comes a Queep on the Street now. Hi, Queep on the Street.
Good. Good. Commentator soup is good.
Mirror, mirror.
mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
You, Snow Whitehead.
Why doesn't Jimmy like me?
Maybe it's your breath.
No, I gargle, I brush, I give myself a breath check every 5 minutes.
Maybe it's your deodorant.
Oh, come on. I spray, roll on, powder, rub in.
Maybe it's just you.
Look in the sky.
It's a boy.
It's a plane.
It's Super Pimple.
And then they turned on the lights and there I was embracing Ralph.
I love you so madly.
Be my girl. It's all right.
We're in the bottom of the ninth. Hanky Panky is up. All eyes are glued on him. He looks very silly with all those eyes glued on him. The pitch to Hanky Panky is a sinker way inside, and that rinky-dink sinker just tinked Hanky Panky's pinky finger.
Fernanda, I ain't got a lot of money or a big house or two cars like Harry Winokur. But I love you.
I like you, too. But tell me more about Harry Winokur.
Hey, polka dots are back in style.
How about your crooked smile?
Look, Sir Lance, a little. A fire-breathing dragon.
Yes, I know. Wow. In the morning when that dragon breathes fire, phew. Today's the day I tell him, dragon, you got bad fire. Bad fire.
I love you so madly. Be my girl. I love you so madly. Be my girl.
This? What's happening? Get away with
me. I love you, Sibyl Schlip. I'll. Bill Schlip.